Let's set the stage. Each day in the U.S., approximately 10,000 adults turn 65 years of age and become eligible for Medicare. Health insurance companies, in compliance with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Management, provide Medicare Advantage plans for seniors. The market's highly competitive, heavily regulated, and is limited by an annual enrollment period and life event marketing windows. If the adage is true that constraints foster creativity, then promoting Medicare Advantage should be one of the most creative marketing endeavors there is. Today, in the studio, I have Christina Lively, Vice President Marketing Communications, and Angie Wooderson, Marketing Manager for Medicare Segments for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, also known as Blue KC. You know, Christina and Angie, it's a pleasure to have you guys in the studio.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To Modern Marketeers.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This should be, you know, most people wouldn't think that Medicare Advantage would be a topic that you'd really want to, like, do a podcast on.
Exactly.
But you know, we've worked with a number of Blue plans, and you guys have been doing this for quite some time. And this is a complicated category, and it's an ever-growing category.
Yeah, I think it's complicated. And to your point, I mean, this population is just exploding. They have needs for, you know, specific kinds of marketing so that they can understand it. And so you can reach those clients.
Well, and it is complex. And you know, it's, you know, we also know that people really just don't understand health insurance overall. And then you get into Medicare and they're like, well, I've got Medicare. I've turned 65. I'm covered by the government now, you know, and everybody's thrilled about that because, you know, their health insurance premiums go down or they're no longer on their employer's plan. But it is a complicated category. And that's why we're here today to chat about it a little bit. And hopefully, as other Blue plan marketers listen to the podcast, they'll you know, take away an idea or two of what Blue KC has been doing. And you've really only been back in the Medicare segment for a few years.
Right, yeah. Right. Our most recent reentry into Medicare Advantage was back in 2015. We were planning for a January 1 of 2016 launch. So, like I said, that was our most recent. We were previously in the category in 2000, mm-hmm. and for various reasons, we decided to leave. But we saw an opportunity to come back again in 2016.
Yeah, what was the driver? What I mean, obviously, you know, being out that many years, what was the driver to get back in?
So really, we saw the aging population of seniors as being one of the fastest growing market segments here in Kansas City. So that was both for near future as well mm-hmm. as long term. So at the time when we were looking at getting back in, we were projecting about 50% growth in the next 10 years. So
of the overall market for Medicare Advantage.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So okay. That was definitely enticing. So our team knew that, you know, Medicare Advantage as a whole was set for long-term stability and sustainability. Mm-hmm. So that's when we decided to re-enter.
Yeah, I would just say it was the right time for Blue KC, and clearly it was the right time for the market.
Well, I think a lot of plans are thinking about that. And yeah. This is, you know, the opening comment I made about the number of people that are, you know, aging in, you know, to right. Medicare. It's not becoming smaller.
No.
And it's not becoming easier. So it's becoming more complex, which really leads me to my next question about some of the challenges that you guys faced.
Yeah, you know, I would also say we've been in the Med Sup business forever.
Right.
So, you know, we always have had that over 65 market, but I think we realized that, you know, that product's not for everyone. And right. there was a place for Medicare Advantage, specifically in the Kansas City market and really nationally. And so, you know, we just said it's time to get back in that market. These are clients and prospects that we care about. We want to be able to serve. And it was also kind of ACA time as well. And so that individual right. client and individual member was, you know, is really important. And we wanted to just be able to serve them in any way we could.
Right. Well, what were some of the challenges as you looked at getting back into the market? And I know the way back
feels
machine,
like forever ago.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like in dog years, right?
So thinking back, I think one of our biggest challenges was a provider network. So whenever we launched our plan, we launched with an HMO, which is what, mm-hmm. you know, MA plans starting out typically do. You know, with an HMO comes a really small network. And as Blue KC is the local leader, that was hard for people to get used to locally because Blue KC is known for having everyone in network.
Right.
So that was definitely a challenge during our first year. Thinking about another challenge that really jumps up to me that I had to learn quickly about was just CMS regulations. See, it's not really difficult to understand the requirements and regulations, but I think internally setting processes and procedures to make sure we are abiding by those regulations, which are very important, I think that was definitely a learning curve for us as well. I'd say we've got it down pretty good by now, but those really pop up as my two big barriers year one.
You know, I would say naturally, our desire at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City is to offer everything, you know, so that everybody has an option. So I think going in with this kind of limited HMO plan was tough. But I think we wanted to do it well. And so we wanted to start with the right products, get it right, and then expand. And that's what you've seen us do. So each year we seem to add kind of something else. So now we've got PPOs, you know, and this year we've got some things kind of brewing that we think are exciting. So I think each year we just relook at our products and try and expand it to serve as many people as possible.
You know, I should probably know this, but when a plan kicks off, you know, you're automatically assigned a star rating. And is it 3 stars? I mean, what's the star rating when you start?
So I believe that you truly don't have a star rating until 2 years after.
Okay.
You've been going. So we knew that when we were launching, even though it felt like 2 years was a long way out, what we were doing now did impact our star rating in 2 years.
And what are some of the things, Angie, that go into like a star rating, just so that people are aware?
It can be anything from, you know, whether or not members are going to their provider as often as they should be for annual checkups. It can be how they rate us. CMS does do surveys, and they have the opportunity to rate their plan. It can even be something as small as whether or not they got their flu shot or if they called in and had a complaint about something that they felt they were misled on.
So what drove, because the other big issue always, whether it's over 65, you know, for Medicare Advantage or any other health insurance plan today, is cost. As you think about pricing, what were some of the factors, you know, and that went into, the whole idea of how do you price an MA plan and how do you make the determination is, do we have a zero premium plan, et cetera? What goes into that kind of planning?
I would say it's half art, half science. You know, we've got a really smart product team that spends a lot of time looking at all of our options because obviously we want to do what's right for the members and prospective members, but we also need to run a business and make sure that we're, you know, solvent for all of our members. So, you know, it's everything from medical loss ratio to, you know, claims to pharmacy. So, you know, and it's all kind of scenarioing it out and seeing what we think is going to work. And, you know, I think we're in this for the long term. So we're not looking for a easy, you know, easy get the first year. So we're, you know, we do look at, we know it might not be the best financial case the first year in each plan, but, you know, we do scenario it out for long term. And I think, you know, there's lots of factors and some we know we're going to take a hit on and some we know are going to be more profitable. And we're willing to do that because, like I said, we're in this for a while.
Right. It's interesting being, you know, a partner of yours in the Medicare marketing. Our staff has to go through CMS training also, and a bunch of them just finishing it up this week for the year. And they're like, this is really intense.
It is
training.
Yeah.
You know, it's intense training and it's important just to understand, you know, the real inside baseball of health insurance, especially in the over 65.
You know, and part of me really appreciates that CMS and the federal government take time and care to make sure that our seniors are getting information in a way that they can consume. So it's on all of us to make sure that we understand the regulations and why they're doing it and what those are. And, you know, the whole marketing team does it. Really, anybody that touches this business does that same training. And so I love that our agency partners do that. And it just gets us on the same page so that it's not just one person in compliance responsible for making sure that we adhere to the to CMS's rules and regs. It's everybody kind of pitching in and saying, hey, and thinking through it. Hey, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right way to say it? You know, could we do it a different way or a better way to make sure that these, you know, these seniors understand what we're trying to do? We want them to know what they have and appreciate what they have and not be confused.
Did you want to add something to that, Angie?
No, I was just going to say what Christina said, that it's important that all players are involved in doing these trainings. And, you know, our CMS relationship and our star ratings are probably the most important part of our business. So right. It's great that everybody's on board.
Right. Well, and it's always an ongoing challenge, you know, to onboard new members and again, in any health insurance plan. But I know that's important from a CMS perspective. But let's talk about the distribution network for a little bit, because you are in a broker heavy market. And so I'm guessing that there was quite a bit of education that had to go along with bringing the brokers online too, so that they understood the challenges of selling Medicare Advantage.
Right. And unfortunately, that is sort of a pain point that we go through every year as we're bringing on new brokers. But one of the requirements that we do ask them is to complete an attestation or a training course,
right.
Where they are provided with their certificate to sell Blue KC Medicare Advantage upon completion of that. We also think it's really important to provide a yearly seminar, I guess we could call it, where we walk through our plans and we remind them of certain CMS requirements. You know, we can look back at the previous year and kind of see what were some stumbling blocks, what we might have been able to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure we highlight those with them and keep them top of mind so that, you know, it's a little bit easier for them to not make that mistake again.
Right.
You know, I think our brokers are such a vital part of our business. They're partners for us, too. And so it's really on us to make sure that we give them all the information they need to be informed and to make sure they're helping their clients make informed decisions. Because I think seniors really rely on personal referrals, whether it's a family member or friend, or if they get connected with a broker, really asking for them to help with their expertise. So it's important to us to make sure we give our brokers the information they need to communicate our products and services. And hopefully, you know, we do have the best product, you know, and the right fit for their members and their clients.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the brokers are really important for us.
And it's interesting because these CMS requirements haven't been around forever, and I think a lot of it really is kind of changing sales strategy or tactics for brokers. You know, they can't walk up to people in grocery stores anymore and ask if they're interested
right.
in a Medicare plan. So it's really trying to change that behavior as well.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? We were talking with a friend who was in Puerto Rico recently, and he saw it was not the Blue plan, but it was another plan selling on the street. Like
right.
literally with a clipboard, walking down the street, signing up
big
people
no-no.
for Medicare Advantage. I'm like, wait, aren't you guys covered by CMS also?
Yeah.
U.S. territory.
I mean, that's a challenge when you see competitors doing things that,
right.
you know, we've made the decision not to do. But, you know, I think we stand by that. We want to do what's right by our senior population, and we want to follow the CMS regulations. So sometimes we just have to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, and it's hugely important.
Yeah.
You know, to stay compliant. Well, as other Blue plans think about, you know, should we or should we not be a Medicare Advantage? One of the big issues is, you know, your back end data partner. How do you go about determining, you know, what are the key determinants that you're looking for from a solid data partner on the back end of your MA plans?
You know, data's king. I mean, that's not just for MA, but just in general. I think, you know, we do have a good partner. They launched with us from the very inception of the plan. But it's I'd say every year it changes as we launch new products and services or nuances within each plan. It's really communicating up front kind of what we need, you know, and it's data for all of us. So, for instance, with you guys, that data is just right. as important as we're looking at results and optimizing our marketing channels and our marketing strategies. So data is important. It's not always perfect. So sometimes we struggle with, you know, getting the right data. But I think each year we feel a little bit better, Angie, that we are, you know, doing things right and better. I think we feel really great that with our advertising agency partners that we've really got a nice little rhythm going. And, you know, your team has jumped in on our platforms to really, they use those platforms just as much as anybody on the Blue KC team.
Sometimes I think they need to train me.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's been instrumental in getting us the data that we need and ability to make the right decisions.
So let's shift gears just a little bit, you know, from how you get it set up and the background. If you think about, and is plan year 19 the fourth year now that you've been in the market?
It is. 15,
16,
it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So looking back, and it's still fresh enough, and Angie, you were here when
That's
that
right.
all happened. What would you do differently if you were to go into MA today?
I think that whenever we were planning to launch our plan back in 2015, we were so focused on just getting our campaigns rolled out, understanding the CMS requirements, making sure we were meeting their deadlines because we didn't quite understand them then, that we didn't really step back and think about our broker channel. And we've already talked about that. But since they account for so much of us of our success, and we've learned over the years that that can be as much as 60% of mm-hmm. our success, I think we probably could have done a better job at providing them more resources, more access on our portal that we offer now, more tools. I think we could have done that a little bit better to make their job a little easier mm-hmm. during year one.
Mm-hmm. Any you know, non-broker challenges that you think you could have looked at differently? Is it from a product, from a compliance? I mean, it's,
right.
Because it's a huge undertaking to,
right.
to I kick would, one of these off.
Yeah, I would say outside of broker, we should have maybe paid a little bit more attention to member retention mm-hmm. Going into that second AEP. Mm-hmm. We really were new to it. We didn't quite know what to expect in terms of a fall off rate
right.
for that second AEP. So I think if we maybe, and we were also learning. So our partner for our Medicare Advantage plan is Lumeris. Mm-hmm. So I think we were trying to also set boundaries about, you know, what Lumeris was doing in terms of member communications and what Blue KC was doing. So I think maybe if we would have maybe looked at other retention strategies like we're doing now,
right.
We might not have seen the fall off that we saw year two. Thank goodness we had a wonderful year two AEP, so it wasn't a big deal. But I think that's something else we could have thought about.
What about SEP? You know, was there any learnings from the first full year of SEP?
So we, going into our first AEP, we're under the impression that AEP was like the big boom when you're getting all of your enrollment for the year. And
right.
that is inaccurate. we've since learned that about 50% of our enrollments every year come in during SEP. So those people aging in really need to know about us. Mm-hmm. We need to be talking to them well before their 65th birthday. It took us a little bit longer than we had hoped to launch an age-in campaign. Mm-hmm. We did launch it in year two, and it's been going for us ever since. But I think understanding that age-in is just as important, and talking to not only prospects, but also our current Blue KC members mm-hmm. about aging in, could have been something else I would have done differently.
Yeah. So in the four plan years that you guys have now been in, what do you believe has changed the most? Anything about the market, products, you know, network, et cetera?
I would say Medicare Advantage as a whole is just evolving. Seniors are wanting more from their plans, more than just medical hospital and dental, or mm-hmm. sorry, more than just medical, hospital, and prescription. And they're looking for things like dental, hearing, vision, even transportation services.
Right.
They're looking for over-the-counter drug coverage, rewards programs. So I think our product team is being challenged with looking at this in a different way and going kind of outside the box of the typical plan.
Our MA, that's I don't even want to use that term, but are 65 plus, are they becoming more digitally savvy?
They really are. And I think that we're doing a good job at not only marketing to them in that sense, but also providing their plan benefits to them as well. And in a way that they can use their smartphone or their iPad to mm-hmm. to log in and check out, you know, if they've hit their out-of-pocket max yet, if they qualify for the member rewards program. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, I would just say, Sam, back to your kind of question on what's changed on MA over the years, I would say, you know, it used to be there was a kind of senior that was an MA member and there was a kind of senior that's a MedSep member.
Right.
And I think those lines are blurring a mm-hmm. bit. And it's not as obvious on who would want the MA product versus a MedSep product. I think you'll see all kinds of people in the MA product that maybe we originally wouldn't have thought. It's a little less about, you know, household income and, you know,
traveling and lifestyle, you get a really broad cross-section that are interested in the MA products for various reasons. So we've had to really think through, you know, classifying, oh, that's an MA prospect versus a MedSup prospect, mm-hmm. because it's really up to them, and they have unique needs. And some people that you would think would be maybe a traditional MedSup client or prospect are purchasing the MA products. And so we have to kind of think about that as we're marketing and messaging our products.
Well, as you think about the changes that have taken place, you know, and as you continue to look forward, as you said, Christina, you know, it's not like you're exiting. You're in this for the long haul.
Right.
You know, what do you see as the top three challenges that you're going to face going forward?
Competition is fierce. So, you know, we're always having to pay attention to, you know, who's in the market, what products they're offering, how they're doing their marketing, you know, and that changes every year. We learn new things and new tactics from our competitors every year. And we have to pay attention to that. I'd say that for me is a big one.
Yeah. I would also say trying to crack the nut on keeping current Blue members.
Yeah, definitely.
On our Medicare plans as they turn 65.
Mm-hmm. And we have not cracked that nut.
No, we haven't.
I think a lot of people struggle with that.
It's a struggle. I think it's important to us and we continue to focus on it. I think the Blues nationally are going to try and address that. And I love that. I think that'll give each individual plan some air cover. But, you know, it's frustrating that, you know, people love Blue Cross and Blue Shield, but when they turn 65 and are ready for Medicare, that's not the first place that they look. So right. I think as a whole, you know, the whole Blues organization needs to really address that and try and figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it seems like a huge gap.
It is.
You know, if people for part or all of their lives have been associated with Blue Cross and all at once, you know, they get tossed into a different carrier.
Right.
You know, there's a huge disconnect there. And there's enough going on when you choose to retire or you turn 65. Why add additional, you know, stress? It's like, no, right. I've been with Blue for 30, 40 years. It's like, why wouldn't I want to stay?
Right. Yeah. You know, and I think an additional challenge is this late retiree. You know, we don't know when people are retiring anymore. It's not automatic that the minute they turn 65, they're retiring. So a lot of these folks are staying on their group plan, and then they're retiring at a different age. So then trying to get to them and message mm-hmm. them, I think that's been a new challenge just in the last 5 years that people weren't dealing with before. It's just people are retiring at different ages and trying to help them when they're ready and ready to make their decision and get that information to them at a timely manner is tough.
Well, then speaking about, you know, the marketing efforts, what's been the most successful that you've found as you've marketed to the senior market?
You know, as trite as it sounds, you know, direct mail is a workhorse for us, right? It's targetable. People, you know, seniors tend to read their mail, which is great. But what we're learning is that is one important channel, but the other channels are equally as important. So whether it's, you know, traditional broadcast or paid social, you know, is been a really important channel for us. Digital, there's all kinds of, you know, digital video. These folks are watching, you know, Netflix and Amazon mm-hmm. Prime and Hulu just like everyone else. And so, you know, we're really trying to figure out how to reach them where they are consuming media. So direct mail is important, TV is important, but there's other channels that are starting to be just as important.
And who would have thought 4 years ago when we started this that over the top would have been, you know, such a key
for sure
element in senior marketing?
Yeah.
You know, and it really has come on very quickly. Anything else from a marketing success that you'd want to share?
I would just say our brand and our customer service mm-hmm. has carried us through as well. Something new that we tried this year, we're learning that experiences are really key for this segment. So we offered Medicare in a Movie where we invited prospects, members, really whoever who was wanting to purchase a Medicare plan during AEP to a local theater to watch a movie and learn a little bit about our Medicare offerings. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of success from that, not only from just a sign-up perspective, but also from an enrollment perspective. Mm-hmm. So we've actually decided to carry that on through the year and also offer it to our members. So it worked well. Another thing that we really like to team up with your team, Sam, on is phone bank every year.
Yeah, explain that a little bit. Because that's one of those. It's like it seems
a phone bank.
It seems a little like a dated strategy.
It does.
Right.
It does. So what we've done is this year we teamed up with Fox 4. And they came to Blue KC and shot various commercials where we were showing that we had a team of Medicare experts ready to take on any Medicare question you might have, because we all know how confusing it can be. Seniors called in with their questions. We had the phones ringing.
So it was like a telethon.
It really is.
It's like a Jerry Lewis telethon.
Totally. It is. It is. And they really respond to that.
You know, I think it goes back to this segment still very much cares about that human connection.
Right.
And so this is just a way to show them that, you know, there's a human at the other end of the line. And, you know, they trust the news media. And so when you're running things during, you know, news and other programming that they believe in, and then, you know, they see us picking up the phone, it works. As funny as it sounds and Jerry Lewis telephony as it sounds, you know, it has been a strategy for us that has worked. And it year over year, every year we question it, every year we do it again. And we see that we're driving enrollments, and it allows people to ask questions about plans. So it works. We do it.
Maybe this year we'll add in comedians and dancing bears right. or something like that. But I've always been amazed. I mean, this is what, the second year we've done it or third
this
year?
This is actually the third, yeah. It was the third. So it started off as a strategy for ACA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And we just sort of evolved it into Medicare. So, yeah, it works well.
Yep.
So that's part of the challenge, though, too, is we've got a very short selling window.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of room for innovation. I mean, it's
right.
you either hit it or you miss it, you know, especially when it comes to direct mail. I mean, it's not like you're going to learn from direct mail, alter it and get it back in the market.
That's right.
It's this is what we're doing.
You know, and CMS, you know, is positive as I think it is to make sure that we're doing things right. It makes it challenging to do marketing things. There's long lead times for submissions and responses from them. And there are very specific requirements and regulations on things you cannot do. So it is hard to be innovative. And we try. And I think sometimes we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes us have to work really harder in those more traditional channels.
Well, so this year we had an extended AEP.
Yeah.
And what was the thinking behind that?
So the OEP... Start, is that what you're talking about? OEP?
It was OEP that should have
right.
been.
Right. So OEP, AEP,
right.
ICP.
Right.
Okay.
It's not confusing at all.
No, not at all. Right. Well, we'll edit that part out of the podcast.
Right. So what they did was they removed the the disenrollment period. So that's what we've been used to as long as I've known Medicare Advantage, is we had a disenrollment period, typically right now, where people who had buyer's remorse could move away from the plan that they had chosen during AEP and either go back to the old plan they had or to original Medicare. This OEP, open enrollment period, really isn't any different. It just has a new name. The only difference is that they can choose any Medicare Advantage plan. So if they have buyer's remorse, they can choose any plan.
Yeah. So instead of the only two options they used to have were going back to their prior plan or going back to just original Medicare. Now they can go to any plan.
Got it.
And so it makes it, again, more competitive.
And I think it makes it more confusing.
Right.
It does make it more confusing.
Yep.
Because now we have AEP, OEP, and SEP.
That's correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Right.
So what else has changed? You know, anything with the sales strategy, network strategy, promotional strategy that we should share?
You know, we are always evaluating our network strategy for sure. And we're listening to our members. If we're deficient in a specific specialty, we're always, trying to beef that up and reach out and get docs in that network. So I think the network strategy is always ongoing. And, you know, the competition's fierce in that space, too. And it does matter to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these
members have sometimes long-term relationships with doctors, and it's important to get those in our networks. So I would say network strategy just is an ongoing focus for us.
I agree. Even like in terms of pharmacy network. So this year we listened to our members. We understood that our pharmacy network maybe wasn't the most clear. So we flattened it out, removed the preferred category. And I think it's been a, I was actually at a Medicare in a movie yesterday. And
slow day or what?
Right. A couple of the members there had a light bulb moment and realized they didn't have that preferred tier anymore, and so that they could really go to any pharmacy they wanted. And I could just by the look on their face, I could tell that it made life a lot easier.
What do you wish you had more of when it comes to MA marketing?
Angie and I talked about this. Angie, what do we wish?
Time.
To prepare or time in the market?
Honestly, both. So, you know, whenever your product isn't officially approved by CMS until late September and AEP begins October 1, that can be really challenging, mainly from a production standpoint. But CMS has the ability to make changes in mid to late September on your product bid. So, knock on wood, it hasn't happened to us yet, but we could be, you know, pushing a big message that might get changed last minute. So you have to sort of have plans in motion if something like that would happen.
Right. Yeah. So as a marketer, you know, you like to know exactly what you're marketing up front, right? You build your beautiful strategy document, you craft your thought out messages, and then you create this beautiful creative. Medicare can be challenging because it's a very slim down timeline. Things can change, as Angie mentioned. You could get late breaking news about a competitor. And so that could totally change your messaging. So I think, you know, you have to be agile. You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to, you know, change on a dime. So it means you've got plans and you've got contingency plans and you've got contingency plans.
Right. And during AEP, you know, you don't have much room for agility because, you know, it's such a short window. You can, you know, you can't take direct mail back, unfortunately.
Right.
Have a recall on direct mail.
Right, right. So, you know, making sure that you're as efficient as you can be, making sure that your sales team has everything they need. Last minute requests are always going to come in because they're going to hear, you know, market discussion. They're going to meet with people and, well, you know, understand that maybe United is offering the same thing as us, but we're not saying it quite as well. So just if we had more time during AEP to make more tweaks, that would be nice. But like you said just a minute ago, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Well, and constraints foster creativity.
They do. They do.
You know, and so sometimes that's the only option we have. When you look at Medicare Advantage marketing, I would think you have two choices. You can either get very heavy into the features and benefits of the product from a marketing perspective, or you can say, we have a Medicare Advantage product, call us for more information.
Right.
Have you seen a difference in how people respond to those two different approaches from a marketing perspective?
You know, I think in my mind, they're both equally important. I think, however, you have to make a decision depending on, you know, what your resources are. So I think early on, we made the decision we were going to go heavy into product and benefit, right? We were new in the market. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, got out what we had to offer. And as it's evolved each year, you know, benefits and product, you know, specific product messaging are really important. Where I think we are now in our kind of maturity curve is we have an opportunity for some more branding. And our competitors, quite frankly, our national competitors do a lot of branding. And so I felt like we were at a disadvantage in that space. And, you know, our just regular branding is important, too, but specifically to that Medicare market. So, you know, we're hoping to do a little bit of both, probably still heavier, specifically during AEP on that product, the benefit. And plus, from a CMS perspective, you're only allowed to talk deep benefits during AEP or, you know, unless they're an SEP candidate. But we think, you know, we're testing the waters this year in this open enrollment period with just Medicare branding marketing versus this deep products and benefit messages. So we'll see how it goes. But I think in an ideal world, you would have that kind of high level branding message, and then you'd have those very specific in channel messages about the products itself. And that's what we'd like to get to. It's not always possible with the dollars you have and the time you have, but that's what I think the ideal would be.
How do you stay up to date on what the alternative plans are doing?
Yeah, so we have an internal competitive intelligence department that sort of keeps us up to date. They provide really great reports, usually quarterly, about what other plans are doing in the market. They also have the ability to pull advertising and promotions, even for brokers, mm-hmm. So we can see what other plans are offering, not only from a marketing perspective, but also like from an incentive perspective. So that's really good information to have. You know, our team really digs into the data we have, but we also look to your team as well to help us, you know, make those product development, sales, or, you know, marketing decisions in that time period.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I also think the Blue network is important. So part of the beauty of Blue Cross and Blue Shield nationally is you can rely on folks in other areas to help you know what's going on from these national players. It's not the same in every market, but I think it's nice to get some insight from geographically dispersed areas on what they're seeing and hearing, what they're doing to react to it. It might not always work in your specific space, but I think that's something that is super helpful to us. And we're willing to kind of share and be partners with each other. And I think that's made us better marketers.
Yeah. So where do you see the greatest opportunity for growth in MA? In our Kansas City market,
I would say something that we're really beginning to focus on this year is group business. So offering Medicare Advantage plans to our current group business as their employees are turning 65. You know, they're there, they're captive. We can provide HR with materials. We can be on site, mm-hmm. Giving them presentations. We can offer one-on-one appointments. So I think putting a little bit more focus on that during this SEP period is definitely an opportunity for us. We've already talked about it today, but it's our goal to try to keep more people Blue as they're turning 65. And then that would be probably my second thing is keeping even the individual members outside of group on our Blue KC plans as they're aging in.
Well, it goes back to what you said a little bit earlier about the fact that people are not retiring at 65.
Right. Right.
What's interesting about that is there are enough people, you know, staying within the workforce past 65 that you can actually go out and talk to a group about your employees who are over 65.
Right.
Right. I think the average age of retirement right now is 67. So it's providing them with the information that they need when they need it, but it's knowing when they need it.
Right.
So if we can work closer with HR departments at our group employers and, you know, give them the materials, kind of help them be our liaison, mm-hmm. And then make sure we're always there to encourage, you know, them to choose us to keep us top of mind. I think that could be a real benefit for our plan.
So do you know what you two have accomplished today? You have made Medicare Advantage interesting. You know, and I know a lot of people would be like, oh, yeah, yeah. No, but really, this is a wonderfully complex category within health insurance. And it's certainly the most complex of anything we do, you know, with you or any other plan. And, you know, to sit down and have a meaningful conversation about this and just to understand some of the complexities from, you know, when we started, you know, 4 or 5 years ago to, you know, the fact that we're in our fourth plan year. It's a big deal.
It is. You know, and I just see amongst even my friends, you know, my parents are aging, my friends' parents are aging. Medicare is confusing. And so, you know, it's a rewarding part of the job is to really be able to, help people with the right insurance products. It's important to them. That's in this part of their life. It's key. And then just, you know, be able to make it better and clarify and deliver some, you know, great materials to this segment. They're important. They're growing. It's an important part of the Blue KC business. So it's actually fun. It's a fun segment to work on.
Yep. Well, Christina, Angie, thank you for being
on
the show today. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
My guests today have been Christina Lively, Vice President, Marketing Communications, and Angie Wooderson, Marketing Manager for Medicare Products at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Join us again for Modern Marketeers, the Barclay Health and Finance Podcast.